Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the No Fake News Radio Show, airing live today, February 21st, 2021, on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dr. John Reiser, and the editor of the alternative news website, nofakenews.net. This is my first broadcast for the radio show platform, and we tried to bring this show to life last night on February 20th when it was scheduled at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. But I ran into technical glitch after technical glitch, and it was very difficult to try to get the production up and running. After about three or four attempts, I determined that it was not possible, so I put this actual show on my own platform and put it up on the website, but I wanted to try and bring this back up on the Blog Talk Radio platform as soon as possible, try to figure out what in the heck was going wrong with it. So I think I've figured out what I was doing wrong, so we're going to try it again. Today's show is titled The World Pandemic, and of course there are plenty of subjects that I could dive into regarding this topic, and a topic that's paralyzed the entire world community since January 2020. Never at a loss for words when discussing COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2, the imaginary virus that was thought up in a writer's studio and unleashed on society as a public health emergency. What is it really, though? And what it is a global psyop designed to lock down the world indefinitely, change a cultural paradigm and the way people view infectious diseases in general. And it's also something that was created to usher in a global reset or a new world order that will have all sorts of ramifications on just about everything that people do while trying to live out their daily lives. If you would like to call in to speak with me, ask a question, make comments, or something else, please feel free to do so. The call-in number for today's broadcast is area code 845-241-9995. I don't anticipate that there will be many people listening because I am doing this on the fly this morning, and I did not advertise the program. It is live right now, but I don't believe that many people will be listening. But it will be archived as a podcast, and people, if they are listening right now, can certainly call in and ask me a question. I'd like to kick off the program first by taking care of some business from the No Fake News website. I am talking about the Coordinated Effort Initiative program I am attempting to assemble. For those of you who are regular visitors to the website, you already know that this initiative is my attempt to organize and coordinate 50 state representatives from the United States so that we can brainstorm ways to protect peacefully the draconian policies that have been implemented throughout America the last 12 to 14 months. I am referring to, of course, the social distancing practices, the mask wearing in department and food stores, and other ridiculous rules that have been forced down our collective throat. So if you visit the No Fake News website, you will find the sign-up page on the main menu, and I would like to have one representative from each state. Currently, we have 7 representative positions that have been filled. We have representatives from Colorado, Georgia, New York, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, Texas, and Wisconsin. Now we only need 43 more representatives. And I need your help, and I need for you to sign up so that we can start thinking of ways to create public awareness about what is taking place throughout the United States and around the rest of the world. And I understand that, you know, it's difficult for people sometimes to come out and they get out of their comfort zones, and having to stand up to make a difference is sometimes very hard. But we need to organize and coordinate our efforts so that we can work smarter than we have been working and more strategically than we've been working, not only now but in the future. And these steps, I believe, are necessary if we ever hope to have a chance of waking up enough people in the world to make a difference. And I believe that's possible, but we have to take action. Will we guarantee our success by doing this? I have no idea. But I can assure everyone that if we don't make an attempt to do something and do it relatively soon, we're not going to be we will not only be unsuccessful in making a difference and changing the world, but we will also be locked down or locked in forever to a new paradigm that has been laid out by a world government that has been handing down these directives to every sovereign country in the world, including the United States of America, these past year and currently continues on. So please go to the No Fake News website and access the Coordinated Effort Initiative page that can be found on the main menu and follow the directions. I need you and others to volunteer so that we can at least explore or begin to explore different ideas and ways that we might be able to make a difference and change perhaps the way things are headed. And thank you for listening to that. I wanted to get that information out there because I think it's a very important thing. And so please definitely try to sign up for that program. Today's program is titled The World Pandemic. And I wanted to go over a number of things or questions that were submitted by people that visit the site in an effort to help me bring other people up to speed, because there are a lot of people in the world that think that the pandemic is real versus the people that know that the plandemic is you know, not real. It is a psyop. And so I wanted to talk about those items and address some of the questions that might help to bring clarity to some of the people that are out there that still believe COVID-19 is in fact a genuine pandemic. So what we'll do is we'll go through that format. And first thing, let's talk about what it is. What is COVID-19? And in my considered opinion, the COVID-19 world pandemic is being used by the powers that be as a means of reaching an end goal, a global reset, a new world order, whatever you want to call it. It's part of the United Nations, I guess you'd call it a master plan of sustainable development. And if you translate that into simpler terms, it means a planet or a world that's filled with planetary slavery. And this is especially for the masses that ultimately will be run by big corporations. So the pandemic part of it is only a small part of it. It is the problem that was put out front and center to convince people that there's something necessary to react to. And, of course, the solution, the problem-reaction-solution equation, the solution aspect of it is how the powers that be will implement various goals and objectives down the line. But the pandemic itself is a genocidal plot to cull the global population. And they're going to do it through a vaccination program that will rewire human genetics and create, in many people, a cytokine storm, which is an autoimmune system malfunction. And I think that a lot of people will suffer down the road tremendous illness, and there'll be massive numbers of deaths and ultimately a drastic reduction in the world's population. It's important to remember in regards to the coronavirus, the fake pandemic, that a significant tentacle of the world government or the United Nations is the World Health Organization, which writes many of the policies and sets many of the directives the CDC and other health regulatory agencies around the world follow. There are also a lot of biotech corporations and pharmaceutical companies, giants, inside the mix of corruption taking place. So the United Nations is in the process of implementing strategies that will indoctrinate or re-educate the world's children and the world's population that are older, and they'll do it in such a way that they systematically fall in line with a specific number of goals that have been designed to usher in a completely different looking world. And if you just take a look, today is February the 21st, 2021. If you go back a year to February 21st, 2020, and the world appears a lot different 1 year later. You'd be hard-pressed to find people last year at this time wearing face masks, worrying about, a viral pathogen that's floating around the atmosphere. And in just a very short amount of time, the powers that be have completely, drastically changed the cultural paradigm, and people have a completely different way of looking at and embracing infectious disease at this point in time. You can go into any public store or any public place or place of business, and you'll see signs requiring people to wear masks, and you'll see most people wearing them. Even in their cars, you see people driving around and nobody else in their vehicles, and they're riding around with face masks, and in some cases they're having two face masks on. So the world is certainly a different looking place. There's a different paradigm that has been introduced, and the world is certainly a lot different today than it was just a year ago. So these strategies that are changing the world that I'm talking about were created by a think tank of people that believe there's a genuine need to deal with a planet that's overpopulated and using up natural resources at a quantity and rate of speed that is considered by them as being unsustainable. The goals of the New World Order, the United Nations, are very, very specific, and I think that a lot of people will recognize when I talk about them, they'll recognize and see that these things have, some of them have been in play for a long time already, others not so much, but are now being introduced or have been introduced recently. So let me just go through a few of these, and we can can put these on the table, so it's something to chew on, and then from there we'll talk more specifically about the virus that doesn't exist. So number one, and I'll just go through these. The United Nations, the world government, wants to transfer the world's wealth to the super rich at the expense of the middle class. And I think we've seen evidence of this happening for quite a while. The second thing is an increase in the number of genetically modified crops and foodstuffs to create more deficient nutrition within the population, which will lead to human immunity challenges and more diseases. They want to mandate vaccines for every living person on the planet, which will cause the proliferation of diseases around the world. That's been taking place for a long time. There have been increased efforts to increase marketing throughout the years to get people to become dependent and reliant on vaccines under the guise that they're protecting people and providing better immunity, which is a bunch of nonsense. But in 2020, this went off the wall, of course, with COVID. They would like to brainwash young children to follow global reset or New World Order ideas and discourage them from critically thinking about important world issues. And, in public education over the past 10, 20 years, we've seen a calculated and very sophisticated plan put in place to dumb down our students. And being a former associate professor of clinical sciences in a higher an institution of higher education, I can tell you that I saw evidence of that in just interacting with many of the students, not all of them, but many of the students had, although they were very bright, had, certain skill sets that were lacking, and especially communicatively when they're trying to write or, do public speaking and things of that nature. So, we've become a society that's, with as far as education, where, they just spit out information and process it and spit it back to the people that are doing it. So very, very true about that process, in my opinion. They want to blur the lines between sexuality and gender identity. We see that happening more and more. They want to allow mega corporations to control the planet's water supplies and other natural resources. They want to create taxes on household goods and limit their availability. They want to establish minimum wages for employment opportunities and not reward jobs to the most qualified applicants for specific trades. I think it's important for them to make unnecessary changes to existing infrastructure that will increase taxes and financial burdens on the citizens or the citizenry worldwide. They like to create international trade agreements that are beneficial to big corporations and harmful to individual citizens. We see that happening on a regular basis with different administrations that come in, especially in the United States. I'm sure it happens worldwide. The relocation of citizens into large urban communities with heightened security and increased surveillance, that's been in the works, and we've listened and heard about smart cities and smart technology cities that are being constructed. They want to restrict or limit the use of power and energy consumption and impose penalties on offending citizens. They'd like to create carbon taxes to combat alleged global warming issues, which is part of another big hoax that's PSYOP that's been going on for a long time. They would like to create additional licenses and fines for fishermen that exceed published fishing limits, limit citizens' use and enjoyment of natural resources, create tracking technology for all citizens, and increase the size and density of the police state that is already in existence. And finally, they want to blur the lines of national sovereignty and dissolve individual countries and replace them with world territories. So these are the agenda points that there are the objectives that they're trying to bring to fruition, and some of them have already been successfully, brought into play. Others are in the future, and some just recently introduced. So the way that you get this to occur and the way that you get people in society to embrace and bow down to these very, very draconian policies or directives is to create something that is really, really scary and a severe problem. And that's what COVID-19 actually is. It's a problem that people will overreact to and will feel the need to respect other things coming down the line in the form of a global reset. And so I think what we have seen in 2020 and through 2021 so far is exactly what this is designed to do. And we have now a new paradigm where people are, so afraid to function in the atmosphere that they've always lived in, and they actually believe that there's this virus out there and this disease that's killing so many people, and so they're agreeing to give up their civil rights, their personal freedoms, in exchange for some type of help and assistance from the medical field, and they're using the medical field, the powers that be, to usher in this this global reset. So let's talk about the virus that that doesn't exist. And I want to go through the anatomy of a fake COVID-19 disease. So to begin with, the SARS-CoV-2 microbe signature, and that's the virus that is responsible for COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2. That virus's signature, and a viral signature is what distinguishes one virus from another, genetically speaking. So the genomic sequence was derived primarily from what we call computer modeling. So in other words, the genetic sequencing that proves the virus is a real entity from a microbiological perspective was created using a computer that accepted the data and information about other previously known and isolated coronaviruses that are not named SARS-CoV-2. So the SARS-CoV-2 virus was synthesized or created by using the genetic sequencing of other viruses. The genetic signature of the COVID-19 virus was never fully isolated or isolated in totality or retrieved from a real infected person or animal using scientific methodologies that have been used for years to isolate and validate the existence of new viral and pathogens. I'm talking about Koch's postulates. And so what we have is a viral signature that's been published using 95 to 98% of the genetic structure was made and created by using data from other coronaviruses. And it's a CGI. It's computer-generated imagery. When you hear people say that, well, you know, this virus has been isolated and the description and picture of it has been published, what you're looking at is not a viral signature that was taken from a person that was infected and brought out and you know, scanned by an electron microscope. What you're looking at are the genomic sequencing of a viral signature that was created from only a few DNA sequences or RNA sequences or genetic sequences that were taken out of a person. The rest of it was computer modeled and put out there as something that was taken out in totality. If you have a real virus that exists, you should be able to take any person that tests positive from a PCR test, and you should be able to extract or isolate that virus anywhere. And it should be able to go through the Koch's postulates, which would allow it to be grown in pure culture and then, you know, reconfigured, and you should be able to replicate those results on a regular process. But they have not been able to do that. There are no labs in the world that have been able to find the viral isolates. And the two companies, Moderna and Pfizer, that have created the two messenger RNA vaccines that are currently being rolled out, they are products that do not contain the viral isolate in their ingredients. So that's one point. The other thing is that the CDC and many other regulatory agencies worldwide have gone on the record stating that they do not have the SARS-CoV-2 viral isolate in their possession. And if they don't have the isolates in their possession, then no one would have them. So it's pretty safe to say that this virus does not exist. And if a virus does not exist, microbiologically speaking, how in the world do you create a PCR test, a diagnostic tool that can assess whether it's present or not in a human being or any other animal? It's impossible. And if the viral isolates do not exist or the viral structure doesn't exist, how in the world do you create a vaccine product that can be injected into a person that would create antibodies against the viral target? And the answer to both questions, of course, is that you cannot. Those situations do not exist because the virus itself does not exist. It is a fake virus. It is a virus that was not even created in a laboratory or genetically modified. It was created in the minds of writers and written in a writer's studio, and it's part of a psyop. And the other thing is the symptoms of the fake COVID-19 disease resemble very much the same symptoms of practically every common cold or upper respiratory infection that has ever been experienced by human beings, which includes the highly publicized inability to taste or smell things. I can remember on many occasions in my own life, during my own lifetime, of having upper respiratory infections and common colds. And when I did, I can definitely recall having a decrease sensitivity to smelling things and tasting things, and I think that's very common. So the fake disease designers ensured that the symptoms, a lot of the symptoms associated with SARS-CoV-2, would be the same symptoms commonly experienced with all colds and upper respiratory infections. And the reason they did this was so when people get regular common colds and upper respiratory infections, they would think that they had COVID-19. That's the plan. Let's talk about the recognition or diagnosis of the fake COVID-19 infection in humans and how they got so many case numbers out of this disease. And the way that they did it was they rigged the PCR test. The diagnostic tools I spoke of earlier is the PCR test, polymerase chain reaction test. And that test is designed, it was designed, never designed to be the diagnostic tool or mechanism to seek out viruses in human beings. It's more to be used in a lab setting for certain things, but they're using it to detect common genetic materials found in people throughout the world. And then the trick that they do is during the lab development process, they use a thing called amplification cycles. So they repeatedly amplify the results that they find until they get to a level where they become so overdeveloped that they create a false positive result. And depending on how many cycles of amplification they are using, it can create a situation where everyone tests positive, or half the population tests positive that they examine, or very few people. And it's kind of like a light on a dimmer switch. You can increase or decrease the sensitivity of the test by how many cycles of amplification are done. And so you can create false positive case numbers on demand. And they knew this going into the PSYOP that they created, that they had a lab tool that would be able to generate the necessary fake case numbers on paper that could get them to use the words outbreak, epidemic. And when, of course, when you have many epidemics going on, ongoing to case numbers, you can use the term pandemic. And in this case, they use the world pandemic. So the rigged PCR tests allow the generation of false positive case numbers. And when you have false positive case numbers like they do, there are millions of them, and they attribute people that are dying from other things to be lumped into the category of a diagnostic test or diagnostic code, COVID-19, you have the ability to also authorize the use of an emergency use authorization, excuse me. The EUAs that they have issued are necessary in order to get the delivery of untested, unsafe, unproven vaccines released and administered to the public. So this is the way the scam has worked. We have two vaccines right now that are rolled out, and they're messenger RNA vaccines that are being administered to people. And these products are not approved products by health regulatory agencies. And in the United States, the FDA has not approved two products. But they're out there and being administered to people because they have been allowed to be administered because of an emergency use authorization, an EUA, which was allowed to be issued because of the fact that there was a government-defined pandemic. And the government-defined pandemic was allowed to be named and put in place because of the incredible amount of case numbers that have occurred throughout the world. But those case numbers that have occurred throughout the world were recorded and registered because of a PCR test, a lab PCR test, that is a bogus test that creates fake case numbers. So if you take away the fake case numbers that were created by the PCR test, you would have no pandemic. You would have no reason to issue an emergency use authorization, and you would have no reason to be able to disseminate or get out to the public these toxic vaccine products that would never be approved by any regulatory agency, because these types of products require extensive study, and sometimes they take decades before they could be released. But they wanted to get them out to the public at record speed, and the only way to do that was to create an EUA. I believe that the vaccines that are being rolled out right now have been in hiding. They've been created long ago. I think that they were in a freezer somewhere, and they needed the right scenario to be able to have an excuse to release them to the public, and that's what's going on. So when we look at these products, a lot of people don't realize that they are not approved products. They are experimental products. And the danger with the messenger RNA vaccines is that they don't have the isolate in them, and they're not a traditional vaccine. They have a messenger RNA component to them that when injected into a person, you can't get rid of it. And what it will do is it will rewire the human genome, the genetics, change, transform the genetics, especially in respect with the to the immune system functions. And it's going to rewire the immune system so that at a future date, whether it's 3, 6, 9 months, a year down the line, when a person comes into contact with another virus or microbe that is matched to the vaccine's configuration, it will cause that immune system in that person to attack the entire body's physiology, and it will create a cytokine storm, which will lead to drastic damage to internal organ systems, sepsis, and then of course, unfortunately, death. So these are the problems that will come along from these vaccines down the line. Now, I don't believe that every one of these vaccines has the same recipe, which might be the reason why they're rolling them out in different waves, because under the guise that, certain people at certain age groups need them more than others. But I think there's probably different recipes. Some of the vaccines probably have the intent to certainly cull the population as a kill shot, while others are probably going to be designed to create sterility in some of the population. And others will probably be more of a product that downloads a operating system into people so that they can be tracked and surveilled, or even have their immune system functions monitored, modulated from time to time. So this is not science fiction. These technologies exist. There are lipid nanoparticle technology in these products that have those capabilities to do what I've just explained. So that's the scary thing with the vaccines. and there are people that are taking these products that have already had very bad adverse reactions. Thousands of them have been reported already on the VAERS reporting systems. And you can check that out on my website on the right-hand side. When you go on to No Fake News, you can see a pretty interesting set of statistics regarding the different adverse reactions that have already occurred with regard to the vaccines. And there have been people that have died, not only in the United States but worldwide, from these products. And those are only the primary reactions coming from anaphylaxis, from allergic reactions. And, there are certainly people that have also had some neurological components affected, where they're getting Bell's palsy, paralysis in the face, they're getting uncontrollable shaking and seizures. And so there are a lot of problems already surfacing from these vaccines, and certainly enough problems where if it was any other kind of a drug that was being monitored, you would see it pulled from the marketplace. But even in spite of all these people having adverse reactions and dying, you are seeing the powers that be, they want to roll this out full speed ahead. So there's no accountability for the vaccine makers, because these products have been granted liability immunity. There is no recourse. If a person or a person's loved one is damaged, irreparably damaged or harmed, they cannot come back and sue the vaccine manufacturers or the government or anyone else. So that's a really, really scary thing, and I don't know if a lot of people realize that that's the case, but it is. Anyhow, let's move on and let's talk about the mitigation or the management techniques that are associated and being given out as advice by the different governments of the world and the different spokespersons that are in the mainstream regarding the fake COVID-19 disease. So certainly the mitigation techniques are the medical procedures or products used to treat it, and we already talked about the vaccines. And some of the other things that that are used to mitigate it would be the lockdowns that we've all experienced in the past 12 to 14 months, the self-isolation, the quarantining, the wearing of having to wear face masks, stay socially distant from other people. These are all the mitigation techniques, the medical mitigation techniques that are being asked of by citizens to do. And when we look at these things individually, for example, let's talk about some of them. Social distancing, keeping 6 feet apart, keeping people locked down, and the self-quarantining. What that does is it actually weakens it weakens our immunity as individuals and collectively. So when we talk about natural and herd immunity, you hear those terms being discussed often. In their truest sense, natural immunity is created by people interacting with the earth and you know, not being allowed to interact with people outside is going to reduce natural immunity, that we grow our immunity by interacting with people. And when we have a strong immune system and we interact with people, it actually creates strong herd immunity amongst one another. And so we're able to interact with people, rub elbows with people, and have a strong tolerance to the natural bacteria and viruses that are always in the environment. So you don't get sick from viruses and bacterial microbes because you come into contact with them. We're always coming into contact with them. You get sick because your immune system functions become depleted or become weakened because of certain things that we do. When we socially distance ourselves from people, when we lock ourselves down, when we quarantine, when we wear face masks all day, that weakens our immune system. When we rub our hands with hand sanitizer or bathe in disinfectants, those are toxic chemicals that have a detrimental effect on the immune system. They weaken the immune system. So many of the things, if not all of the things that we're being asked to do, the prescriptive things that we're being asked to do to mitigate COVID-19, in fact, what they are doing is they're weakening our immunity. And so I would tell people that we are not at war with microbes. We are in a war with the powers that be, who are trying to assault our immune systems. They have been doing this for years by asking us to take toxic vaccines that create autoimmune disorders that then manifest as different diseases that they claim as intellectual properties and then keep us sick. Many of the things that we are being asked to do with antiviral drugs in general are a lot of the medicines that we take, or not all the medicines that we take, are suppressive products. They suppress our physiology. And so, for example, when you have an infection, whether it's a viral infection or a bacterial infection, in many instances the immune system will cause the body to run a fever. And the fever is designed to destroy the bacteria or the viral microbe. In a lot of situations, viruses cannot replicate in higher temperature ranges, so the body creates a fever to neutralize the virus's ability to replicate. And if a virus can't replicate, that's the end of it. But what we're being told to do is to take products that lower fever, take products that get rid of other symptoms that are innately used by the body to in effect, get rid of the thing that's challenging it. And I think in a lot of situations we have problems understanding that, because we have been educated as a society by pharmaceutical companies, by drug companies, and they have a vested interest in keeping us sick. They have a vested interest in making sure that we keep our diseases and never figure out a way to eradicate them. And I think that when we talk about taking drugs and products to make us healthier, we don't have the real understanding of what these products are doing. So keep in mind that many of these products and things that we're doing to mitigate diseases in general, but specifically COVID-19, which is not a real virus, are being done to weaken our immune systems. Now, what's going to happen, in my opinion, is when these vaccines are rolled out and people begin to take them, and there's going to be a big drop-off. A lot of people are going to get sick and die coming up in the future because of these vaccine products. So what will happen at that point is the introduction of variants or mutating viruses are then introduced into the picture, and they're explained as being even more deadly than the current coronavirus. And this will be the scapegoat or the excuse for why people are dying. And there's going to be a parade of these variants that are coming down the line, because that strategy puts into the minds of people a plausible reason why people are dying, and also it gives the need to have more vaccines rolled out in the future. So they're not going to stop. What's being done right now is going to go on for a long time. There's no foreseeable end to the pandemic that has locked us down. And unless people get a very good understanding of what's going on, they're going to be in this new paradigm forever. And so we have to understand that the advice that we're getting by the mainstream companies, or the mainstream government narratives and the regulatory agencies that are running the show, they're giving us disinformation. They're not giving you the true information to get people healthy. They're doing the opposite of what you think they're doing. So how do they do this? Well, you know, you get the public to respect the false science and fraudulent research handed out by these different sovereign territories through government spokespersons and through television and media. We have nonstop media transmissions, mainstream media transmissions, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's a giant hypnotist in our living room, and it just continuously tells us, you know, that what we're seeing is the result of a deadly disease. And after a while, people begin to believe this without questioning it, because it's just a very powerful medium, and so able to influence the average into believing the false narrative. You know, you'll have people, government spokespersons like Fauci in the United States, who tell that we have isolated the virus, we have proven it exists. These are the definitive symptoms associated with the disease. We know what we're talking about. We're the scientists, and you don't know anything. Believe everything we say concerning the virus. And these are the things that they're telling people, like Bill Gates. For years telling people that the key to health is through vaccines. And so after you hear these lies long enough, and they're made continually, you begin to believe it. You know, this is what we believe. We believe the plandemic's written narrative as being truthful. And so people always say they want to follow the science, but what they're really following is the science fiction. They're not following the science. And there are thousands upon thousands of credentialed scientists throughout the world and medical doctors that have formed platforms and are coming out together and telling people that what's being explained about this pandemic during the past 14 months are lies. They're not true, and that the virus has not even been isolated. So, but these people are being marginalized and censored by the big tech platforms where they could normally speak out in the past. At least to some degree, they're being censored a lot, and they have had to get their messages out on secondary platforms that don't have the broad exposure built into them that they might have had, you know, using some of the other platforms that they prior had prior access to. So even though there are people screaming at the top of their lungs that this is fake, the commentary from them goes unnoticed because people don't have access to it. Most people get their news and information about what's going on in the world from the four or five companies, you know, telecommunication companies that are owned and operated at the highest levels by the same world governing construct that is putting out the agenda in the first place. You know, a lot of people, they'll try to do research about vaccines and they'll go on to WebMD or they'll go on to the search engines, and the first thing that they're going to find are the propaganda and the false science that's been written by the controlling powers, that's rigged to populate your search engine screens with that garbage. And it's really very difficult to get access these days to the truth as far as health information. They have it either buried so far in the search results, or they've completely eliminated them in a lot of situations now, so you can't have access to it. The only thing you're getting access to regarding information concerning health and the pandemic is the information that the designers of the fake pandemic want you to have. So you're not really getting anything that is of value in that type of information. So a lot of what I'm telling people here tonight, if you've never heard this before, it will cause you to roll your eyes and think that you know, I'm a conspiracy theorist and that none of this is real, and that would be the reaction. And because there's a lot of cognitive dissonance out there. There's a lot of people that can't handle another narrative because they're so married to or invested in the current false narrative. So they don't even recognize what I'm saying or others like me are saying as being even possible. But the answer is that, in a nutshell, that what we are witnessing and living through is a genocidal plot to cull and transform the human population into much lower numbers, speaking. The controlling powers want fewer people in the world, and they want to genetically modify those who survive and track and surveil them as well. And this is being accomplished through the administration of vaccines. So I think that's important information to understand, to know. I definitely wanted to touch those points tonight and or today. And I think that it's something that people need to understand. Some of the other things that there are a couple other questions here that people had sent in a few days ago. And the one question here that really I think is important, sticks out in my mind, is can the vaccines that are being rolled out be made mandatory? And I think that's, you know, if you remember, probably several months ago, the attorney Alan Dershowitz came out with a clip that went viral where they talked about, where he talked about vaccines being able to be mandated by governments, especially in the United States, because of the decision back in the early 1900s, Jacobson versus Massachusetts, where the Supreme Court made a decision that in the case of an emergency pandemic or you know, a public health emergency, the government could force people to have vaccines if it was for the betterment of the society in general. But what that decision also said, if people look into it, is that that's okay as long as the products that are being injected, the vaccines being injected, weren't more dangerous than the disease they were trying to prevent. And, you know, back in the early 1900s, when Jacobson versus Massachusetts was decided, the justices did not understand that there were tremendous adverse reactions associated with vaccine products. Very little was known about vaccines back in the day. So that decision, I believe, would never hold up in a court of law if it was tested again, because every vaccine product that's ever been made now has a big product insert list that's a mile long with tremendous amounts of vaccine adverse reactions. And so I don't think that would ever hold up in a new test through a court system, especially through the Supreme Court. So it's debatable if vaccines in general could ever be mandated. I don't think they could. As far as the two bioweapons disguised as vaccines being rolled out now by the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines, the messenger RNA ones, it's impossible for them to be mandated because they would fall under products under emergency use authorizations, as I mentioned earlier. And products that are untested, unapproved by the FDA in the United States cannot be mandated. That's not possible. So what they're relying on is people's ignorance of the law, and through deceitful and disingenuous means, they are trying to pass off in their marketing that these vaccines are in fact approved products when they are not approved products. If these emergency use authorizations weren't in place, they would never be able to have rolled, never would have been able to roll out the two messenger RNA vaccines. And the fact that they did this is, in my opinion, a crime against humanity. But they did it, and people are lining up and knocking down the doors trying to take these products. Now, you know, when you look at the marketing to these products, the companies or the people are saying that they're 95% effective. So what are they 95% effective in doing? Well, they're 95% effective in reaching two endpoints. Endpoint number one if you take them, they're saying that 95% of the time people will not get a positive PCR test, which is really a false positive. They're saying, number two, that the people that take the vaccine 95% of the time after that, they will have a lessening of at least one of the symptoms associated with COVID-19. So by the description of the product's results, the 95% success results, they don't have any type of success in preventing the transmission of the disease or the virus, which doesn't exist in the first place. So by taking these products, you are not eliminating your potential to get the virus, according to the information that's being put out by the official narrative. So you're not going to have a situation where when people take this, they're going to be able to enter society again without a mask, without social distancing, without quarantines and further lockdowns. So I think a lot of people wanted to take these products because they were under the illusion that if they took them, they would be able to reenter society normally. They would be able to, interact with people again. So they wanted to take the products in exchange for having a return to what they perceive was normal. But that's not going to happen because these products don't do that. And they're already telling people that when you take these products, it's not going to mean that we're going to relax the draconian policies that have been put in place. They're never going away. You're never going to see a time again, in my opinion, where they take down the plexiglass barriers in stores where people are walking around without these masks, because they have permanently changed society's view of infectious diseases. There's a new paradigm, and it's psychologically a very damaging thing that they've done. So they not only have hurt and harmed people physiologically speaking, psychologically speaking, they've done this. The wearing of face masks, when people see other people wearing face masks, it reinforces in their minds that there's something dangerous out there lurking in the distance, that there's these invisible microbial terrorists just lurking around the corner waiting to infect you. So, when you see other people with masks, you become cognizant of the fact that there must be something dangerous out there. Also, the masks are very dangerous because they create psychologically in people and in children the inability to have facial recognition, and it destroys and disrupts the interpersonal communication skills that we have with other human beings. I think that's a very, very bad thing. And the other thing is, from a physiological standpoint, when you have a mask on all day and you're continually breathing in lowered amounts of oxygen and you have a buildup of carbon dioxide, it's dangerous and damaging to your physiology. I think that the oxygen levels being so low will have an effect on the neurons in the brain, the brain cells. And you only have a certain amount of brain cells in your lifetime. And as they become destroyed by a lack of oxygen, which they do, eventually through time, this can cause a problem in cognitive impairment. And you can have a case of dementia later in life. Now, there are many people that are coming out and saying, well, that's not possible. That is not a possibility, because there are a lot of doctors and medical doctors and surgeons that are using these products on a regular basis, and they don't have any ill effects. And the problem with that is that I can show you studies, and I've written a few articles about it in the past, where many medical doctors later in life experience a lot of dementia-related problems, Alzheimer's. So there's no way of telling if their previous mask wearing was in fact a contributing factor to that. In fact, I would suggest that it is, but studies have to be done to determine that. So just because when people are working and doing that now, it doesn't mean necessarily that they're going to have the direct effects and experience those symptoms of cognitive impairment time that they're doing this. So we have to be careful when we make blanket statements about, masks are not dangerous, because, I mean, common sense would tell you otherwise. Common sense would tell you that they're very dangerous, and that when you're restricting oxygen through your nose and mouth at the same time, that's not a good thing. So, I think that one of the ways that something like this always seems to take place is through the lack of common sense. When we abandon common sense, we are going to make bad decisions, and we're also going to make bad decisions when we're scared. And the society right now has been the victims. You know, we've been victims of a psyop. It was designed to scare the heck out of people so that they would make bad decisions. And I think that's what we're seeing. So, you know, those are the things that I think we need as people to become cognizant of and to have an understanding so that we can make an effort, a collective effort, to change the paradigm, to wake up people and to start conversations about what's really going on in the world. And I think if we are able to do that, hopefully sometime in the future, we will be able to make a real change in the world. I think if people don't wake up, there will never be changes. So our only chance and our only path at success in changing everything comes from being educated about what's really going on. That's all I wanted to talk to you about tonight or today, and I'm hoping that what we were able to accomplish in this hour or amount of time was productive and at least will help encourage other people to begin challenging the false narrative that's in play. Until next time, this is Dr. John Reiser for the No Fake News Radio Show, and I hope everyone has a great day.